You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Could you come and save her? Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when to turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Happy news! Oh, I always love happy news, and we've had so many good things happen. We were nominated for Best Podcast at the World Entertainment Awards. Now we're nominated for Best Podcast and Best Host at the Fair Play Country Music Awards. So we're very, very grateful for that. And we have a special gift from the Adam H. Board of Franklin County. They have blessed us with a mini grant to do a series looking at mental health and perspectives on mental health. And so we're very thankful to them for their support and very, very grateful. And we have even more to be grateful for today. Yep. That's right. We have a terrific guest. So I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm so glad you've joined us. I'm glad our guest is here with us today, and you'll see why. Would you please introduce yourself to our friends who are listening?
Sure. Thanks, Dawn, for having me. My name is Timothy Isaiah Cho. I'm located in Columbus, Ohio, and a couple things that I do. I am a church planter of City of Refuge Columbus Church. I also am a coffee roaster here in Columbus for company called Mosaic Coffee.
Wow. Well, that's a really exciting combination. How did that happen?
Yeah, interesting. The coffee was definitely a personal hobby of mine for many years back. And so eventually I thought maybe I can try selling coffee. And so about 2 years ago, eventually I made it into an actual business. And so we've been selling coffee to churches, small businesses, and individuals throughout the Columbus area. So it's been really awesome to be able to, in some ways, be an extra arm, like a hospitality arm for some churches that are unable to do it themselves. They don't have the personnel to do it themselves. And then the church planting is, I went to seminary and I graduated back in 2016. And, ministry had been on my mind for a long time. And most recently, a sad story is that our previous church here in Columbus closed down. And so that seemed to be the Lord's way of kind of calling us into doing something ourselves. And so, that's how we've been doing it. We've been meeting since about this last summer. And so, I'm just really encouraged by the people who've been coming.
That's incredible. Well, I hope someone has said thank you to you for doing these things, but just in case they haven't, I say thank you, because it always seems in my life that whenever I look at something and say, you know, somebody ought to do something about that, the Lord always shows me that somebody is me. And so thank you for your courageous and brave answer to that call that the Lord has given you. Wow, there's so much in there. I'm so fascinated. But I want to ask you first, do you think there's a connection between faith and mental health?
Oh, definitely. As I've done a lot more reading myself just into both of those topics, there's just so much to say about how we can't grow as followers of Jesus if we are not addressing the mental and emotional health that we have. Actually a really big wall, actually, that we can't climb over if we don't address these things sincerely.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that hard to address? I mean, is mental health something that the church traditionally has shied away from?
I think so. I mean, just even growing up myself, mental health was definitely not something that a pastor would preach from from the pulpit. We wouldn't do Bible studies on this, right? There was, even in some families, mental health was seen as something that could just be either prayed away or, you know, just with more faith could go away, right? And so I think I'm encouraged over the past at least 10 years where I've seen a bigger interest in mental health, emotional health. And that's been encouraging just to see that at least it's on the radar for people. And there's a bit of sadness, too, because I think some people are recognizing some of the earlier messages that we may have given to people who struggle with mental health have been really harmful to them, you know, just to have more faith.
Right.
So hopefully that means that, you know, we will be able to, as we learn and grow, maybe to even apologize for the ways that we've spoken about mental health in the past. But I think it's really great to see even Christian practitioners of mental health to be able to see how they combine recognizing like that God created us not just as souls with costumes, right? But we are a whole holistic being, right? And that includes our minds. And all of us are affected in one way or another by sin and brokenness of the world. And that can include our brains. It can include the brain chemistry. It can include, the struggles that we might have just with mental health. And so I think that's been a really helpful thing that I've seen, at least in the past couple of years. That's been encouraging for me to see. It gives me courage as well to talk about it a bit more and to be able to incorporate that more into, you know, the life of our church.
That's very forward thinking. I'm thinking about, I think it's Irenaeus who said the glory of God is man fully alive, and how so many times we've just reduced it in a church context. You know, if we just don't embrace the full and entire whole person. Why do you think that's changing? Why do you think churches are becoming more willing to discuss mental health and support mental health?
I think a part of it is because I think people in general, both in the church and outside the church, aren't buying that truncated message anymore. Just the idea of kind of a smaller image of what humanity is supposed to be. And I think they feel it, right? Because people are struggling with mental health. People know they're even physically, their bodies, COVID, the pandemic really showed us like we are, our bodies are affected by this world and all of our interactions with one another. And so I think that's a part of it where people are realizing this message of, you know, we're just souls isn't doing it for anybody and making people rethink. Maybe we've been shortening, making small what the image, what being made in the image of God is. And I think that's helped people lean more into, recognizing not just internally, so not just our emotion, how our emotions, our will, our intellect, all are together and intertwined, but even broader, thinking into the community, how do we impact our relationships, our networks, our influences, because we're not just hermetically sealed individuals. We're all, you know, God's designed us. The image of God is corporate, right? So we are all communally, corporately meant to thrive together and to work together. So I think that those are a lot of the reasons why I think people are asking those kind of questions. They are dissatisfied with the message that's been around for a bit. And I think that's helped people to look further into the scriptures, further into their own practices as well, to see are there ways that we've kind of missed the boat and we've kind of sold the image of God in humanity short of what it's intended to be.
That is really thought-provoking, especially since you have a wonderful opportunity as a church plant, as a new church start. You have a chance to get this right, don't you?
That's right. I mean, in a sense that one of the great things about a church plant is you kind of start from scratch in a way. You're not entering into a space that has a lot of long-held tradition or, you know, it's not impossible to remove a stained glass window or something that's been around for 100 years, right? Whether literally or metaphorically. And so there's that in that sense. I think there's also some work as well, because even though we might be starting from scratch, we are all coming into this church with our own assumptions about our own upbringings of mental health, our own upbringings of faith, and so on. And so it's kind of a dynamic work of recognizing we're starting something new, but we're not all coming in into it as blank slates, right? And so there's a lot of spiritual formation that still happens with the people who are coming into the church. And as we wrestle with these sorts of questions and see where are ways that we ourselves have been trained to learn kind of defective ways of mental health and, you know, the image of God, and how can we address these things as we shape a community, as we live out this community in this church.
So what does a healthy church look like?
Yeah, that's great. you know, it's so easy to start kind of with the negatives, right? And to say what a healthy church, what an unhealthy church is. And I think, you know, there's a lot of resources out there that we can see kind of what unjust and unhealthy and even toxic kind of dynamics are in the church. So I'm not going to belabor that point. In terms of the positive side of, like, what does a healthy church look like? I think we really do need to look back at what Jesus gives for us in his Sermon on the Mount. And a lot of the teachings that he gives there, the vision that he casts for what a community looks like, how leaders relate to those they lead, how those with power interact with those with less power, how the church is meant to be a small little picture, an outpost of the kingdom of God as a light to the world. And so in that sense, we should be trying to create a culture and also structures that are most conducive to these sorts of things. So, for example, I think many of us are familiar with churches that have a very high emphasis on authority and having a senior pastor being kind of the vision holder, the one who kind of, if you lose that pastor, you don't know what the church is anymore. And so I think pushing against that, seeing what Jesus is describing of what does it look like for a leader to actually lay down their life for others, to, you know, take their towel and wash people's feet, to bring up those who are marginalized and to bring them into the center rather than on the outskirts, right? And so seeing how there are is an upside down sort of ethic going on where the first are last and the last are first. And I think, you know, that's kind of a very simple way of looking at it on a big 30,000 foot level. When you get down into the weeds of it, it's a lot more messy than that. It can be things like, how do you create patterns for even those who are leading the church are able to step away and allow someone else to also lead? How are we able to, you know, think about the way, like, be able to have constant and helpful feedback, right? How do we create an atmosphere where feedback and criticism isn't, you know, destructive of a ministry, but it's actually a way for people to have their needs heard, right? Like in Acts, when those widows who felt like they were being overlooked, they felt safe enough to bring it to the church and say, hey, we're being overlooked. And from that, you know, a good work was done to care for them. And so in the same sort of way, are we creating a healthy community where those who may be overlooked, who may be marginalized even within our church, are able to voice and say, we need help here. Are there others who are able to advocate for them as well? So, you know, those are the bigger kind of questions. I don't think I have them fully answered, but the Sermon on the Mount is for sure a guiding principle. And just to see in what is that trajectory of a community that Jesus wants to create, and how do we form that in our culture? How do we form that in the structures and even the ways we relate to one another in the church?
I'm encouraged just hearing that you care about those things. You know, just hearing that you're willing to think about the green flags and how to proceed in a good way is very uplifting. So how are you, like, practically speaking, applying this from the very beginning? Because we all talk about first impressions, right? And we talk about the foundation. I know foundations aren't very exciting. Nobody invites you over to see the foundation of their new house, right? They invite you when it's all done. But if you don't have a sure foundation, the whole house is at risk. So how are you applying these things practically to your church plant?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a couple things that come to mind is just the idea of having even the worship space to be something that the people do rather than a person leading. And so one of the things, even just how when we meet together and we go through our order of worship, a lot of it is a call and response back and forth, where someone reads something, someone responds to it. And I make sure that I'm actually not the one who leads all the time. There are times when I ask my kids to do it. And so even having children to be a part of leading a congregation, right? I think that speaks a lot, because so often we might, you know, a lot of times kids are talked about as if they're the future of the church rather than the present of the church, because they are in the church, right? Mm-hmm. But that's one of the things that I try to do. Hearing, you know, when we are hearing the word taught, we usually will listen to a sermon from someone who is within our circle of churches, and we try to include people from various backgrounds, men and women, people who are from different racial and ethnic backgrounds as well, because I think that also sends a message to us that it's not just one kind of person who has some sort of, you know, that they're the only kind of person who has a grasp on God's word. Usually often it's white men, right? Who are older white men. And so just trying to make a message like women, people who are different racial backgrounds, they can bring us the message, and they actually should be the ones as well, so that we can learn from all these various perspectives. You know, some other things as well, as we think about how we incorporate the way that we serve the community around us. You know, these are still kind of in the vision stages, but just even thinking about how do we rethink how church is done. In the sense that oftentimes people will think, I go to church on a Sunday, maybe I'll go to a Bible study or a small group throughout the week, but that's pretty much it. And then maybe we might have some special outreach events or mercy ministry events every once in a while, right? You know, but thinking about what would it look like if our church, and even if other churches followed suit, and they devoted the first Sunday of a month to actually meet as a group in the community, have a very short service together, and then right after that, practically serve the community. What would that look like? What kind of message would that show of saying our faith is not just something we sit and listen to, but it's something that we hear and do? Another thing, too, is that's actually been more of a surprise for me, because I think these folks actually found me rather than the other way around, is serving the you know, immunocompromised community, especially, who are unable, you know, since the pandemic began, to be able to meet with family, friends, and their churches, and in many cases have been neglected in terms of ministry or from their churches. And so we do have a significant number of people who are all across the nation who kind of fit into that boat, who are able to connect through our Zoom services as well. Just to think about, these are people that Jesus cares about, and it's not right. It's not right for us to leave them behind, right? And so, how do we incorporate them into hearing God's word, worshiping and fellowshipping together? So, those are some of the small things that we do here and there, just in terms of the practices of what our church does. And a lot of it, again, since we're still at a foundational stage, we're still thinking, dreaming, and tweaking things as well. So I think that's also the exciting part about it. Like, nothing's set in stone, and we also get to experiment a little bit with the guiding of the Spirit. And so I think that's what I'm excited about.
I can tell, and I'm so excited for you. The still COVIDing community is very precious to us. We are still COVIDing. And that means we take precautions that maybe other people no longer take, because we've never had COVID and we don't want to have COVID. And we have situations in our family that we just can't, it won't be a good thing. And it never is, but for us, it would be disastrous. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate that. The least of these. My granddaddy was our pastor for most of my life, and he lived to be 100. He was a World War II veteran, D-Day. He was a great, great man of God. And I asked him towards the end of his life what he was concerned about in the church and what he could see. And he said, you know, he said, daughter, I'm afraid that in the new church, in your generation, they would just tell that lost sheep to keep up. And if he didn't, they'd just leave him behind. They wouldn't go looking for him. And we literally saw that with the pandemic. And now, you know, it's the flu, RSV, COVID. I mean, there's a lot going on, surges and things like that. And we see a lot of people who were just left behind. You know, their churches don't even call and check on them, or they've been brokenhearted because they feel like friendships and relationships they had for years were just, oh, well, keep up. Can't keep up. We're leaving you behind. And so I do want to say a heartfelt thank you to you for caring about the least of these vulnerable people and people who, inclusion, you know, we talk about inclusion, but it's not just having a different collector during the service. Inclusion is caring about everyone. And thank you for doing that. Really, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And, you know, thank you to those who've been coming as well. I know it's a little bit scary to not only try to enter into a church that you may feel like there's the potential of being neglected or heartbroken again, but doing it over Zoom is also a little bit scary across, you know, the country. So I'm so grateful that people have been willing to take that leap of faith in that sense, and they've been a really wonderful addition to our community.
That's marvelous. And I thank you also for requiring masks at your in-person services. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and you know, again, it's just some of the little things that we can do where to help someone who may not otherwise be able to attend, to be able to help them to come. I think it's a part of showing love and care that is not selfish and not self-centered, right? And being able to center someone else's needs is a good practice for us to have anyways, but it's, you know, a very, I think it, when the opportunity comes knocking on our door, we should see it as a sign from God's providence that maybe this is where he wants us to practice those good works, right? I often think about with the pandemic, with the shutdowns and all the procedures that were required, I think that was a really great time in my mind for the church to reconsider, is there a different way to do church? Are there ways that we have not been reaching certain communities? And I don't think, for the most part, we did a good job at that. I think in many ways, we kind of went the same way that we did before. And we just kind of adapted a little bit, but then eventually came back to the same, you know, model of ministry. And I do think that the pandemic was the Lord's wake-up call and a way for us to kind of reconsider things. And I'm hoping, you know, I'm prayerful that others will see that in the same way and start to just rethink how they're doing work, how they're doing ministry, how they're worshiping, how they're including people, and even in ways maybe how they might be unintentionally excluding some people that are hungry for the word.
I've heard so often from folks that are in assisted living or nursing homes or rehab centers. We have a friend that's a quadriplegic, and they talked about how wonderful it was for them during that brief shining period where everybody was on Zoom or churches were streaming their services. And they talked about how hard it had been for them to get out for years and be part of the community. Yeah. And this period of time, they felt like they were included. You know, folks were checking on them, and they could be part of services. And then all of a sudden, it kind of went back to, oh, okay, we're done now. You know, business as usual. And they feel left out again. And that was an eye-opener to me, to think about how ableist we have been for quite a while.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I love that you are willing to think in ways that God is leading you to think. And that takes a lot of courage. How do you feel leading this new church start?
Oh, yeah, that's a really great question. Yeah, in many ways, I feel, you know, there's this a little bit of nervousness in terms of it's you know, putting myself out there, my family out there, of just new people, right? And so there's, I'm not an extrovert myself, so it's, I feel daily the pull of, you know, my introversion gets the better of me, right? But you know, that does pull me out of my comfort zone. But you know, that, there's a part of that where I think it's good to see the people that are out there who are looking for something like this. And so there's some great encouragement that comes from that. Mm-hmm. I think there's also one of the things that's been really helpful for me is just knowing that the way that we are planting this church is not traditional in the sense of, you know, we're not required by anybody to, you know, become financially sustainable in 5 years or whatever the number might be. We don't have that. And I think that actually will help us to avoid a lot of the pitfalls of what happens when you rush ministry like that. It'll help us to be able to invest deeper into people and to address some of the, you know, the things that we all struggle with, right? When it comes to leadership and leadership dynamics and healthy church cultures and so on. And so I think that's been very helpful for me just to see, I'm cool with a slow growth, right? I'm grateful for anyone who comes, and I'm not here to get as many people to sit in a church pew or something like that. I'm looking for deep growth from people who want to follow Jesus, you know, and even in broken sort of ways. But so for me, that's combination of both the comfort of knowing that I'm not on any sort of financially driven sort of timeline is really helpful. And just the regular encouragement in the midst of a little bit of fear and trepidation of doing something that's a little bit different.
As Indigenous people, we absolutely believe in the circle. And in the circle, everyone is not the same, but everyone is equal. And that means that you might learn from an elder and you might learn from a child. But everyone has value and has worth. And in fact, when you talk about making deep connections and taking your time and all of those things, that's a very circular model. Because in our language, a lot of the words for family are also the same as wealth. A wealthy person is a person who has friends and family who love them. It's not always about what's in the donation plate or what the offering is. And so I love that you have the ability to build real relationships with people who are coming to you with their hearts in their hands. They really are. They're coming. This is they hope this will work. They hope and want this to be a place where they can find community and worship, even in the midst of maybe being excluded by their current church situation. So that's beautiful. Well, I'd love it if you would tell us how folks can come to these services or participate in these services. And again, I'm just so grateful that you have them. So how can folks help you? I mean, there may be people who would like to donate or who would like to do something to support and encourage you. But most of all, how can folks be part of this faith community?
So our regular pattern of how we meet is every first Sunday of every month. We have it only through Zoom. And so if you reach out to me, you could find me, Timothy Isaiah Cho, on multiple social media platforms. If you just reach out to me, I can add you to a regular email update list where you'll get the link to the Zoom link to join. That's usually the easiest way to do it. The third Sunday of every month, we have both a Zoom and in-person option with masks required. So for those who are in the Columbus, Ohio area, that's, our doors are always open. We host it in our own house. And so we try to make it as kid-friendly as well. And so we want to make sure that kids feel welcome and included in that. So those are two of the main ways to kind of be part of it. Of course, prayer is great. Even if you are unable to be a part of this this movement together, just praying for that people will be reached, people will be changed and grow in their discipleship with Jesus. And in terms of financial support,
you know, as I mentioned, I'm not under any sort of financial stress to, you know, for my own salary or anything. And so anything that we want to raise in terms of funds is currently going to be used towards the needs within our community, whether the people who are coming to the church or to the community around us here in Columbus. And so a lot of it would just be put towards, you know, really basic sort of diaconal mercy ministry needs. And so that, you know, that's something that we are don't have the structure for necessarily yet of how do we take in those kind of donations. But that's kind of the first in our minds of like, how do we help people to mobilize them to be able to help make tangible needs to the community rather than, you know, just to a church building or just to a pastor's salary or things like that. So,
That's wonderful. That's actually amazing, really amazing. My granddaddy used to say that God gives every person something to do, something to be, something to share, a gift or a talent that shows the whole world how good God is and how much He loves them. And I really feel like you are so much using the gifts and talents and the heart that you have to show your community that God loves them. And I appreciate that. When we come back for our little break, we're going to talk about coffee. And I'm really excited to talk to you about the unique way that you chose to do business. So, folks, stay right there. We're going to pay a couple bills, and we'll be right back.
Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe they get on their knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. What's the world forgave you?
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast, click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans. Who we are. What we miss. To get back to each other. To life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at GetVaccineAnswers.org.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Or? Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and nFamily Fire.
Thank you.
are having such a powerful conversation. I am enjoying every minute of it, and that's because of the guest we have today. Would you reintroduce yourself to our friends, please?
Sure. Yep. I'm Timothy Isaiah Cho, and I'm a church planter for City of Refuge Columbus here in Columbus, Ohio, and I'm also a coffee roaster of Mosaic Coffee.
That's awesome. How did you choose the name of your church?
That's great. So, funny enough, in the Old Testament, there is something called Cities of Refuge, actually, that God institutes for his people in the instance where someone is wrongly accused of murder. And so that person is able to flee to one of the cities of refuge and have refuge there, be safe from a family member of someone who's been killed, wanting to exact revenge or anything like that. And so it just shows a little bit of a picture of how, even in the structure of how God made his people live in the promised land, he wanted to make sure that there was justice, that there was equity, that there wasn't just punishment, but there's also restorative ways for people who can flee when they're in a time of need and even when they're wrongly accused of things. And so that picture of just what God is doing, I think really captured me many years ago when I preached on it. And so there's a lot of overlap too with, in the Bible, the idea of a city is talking so much about new creation. God uses the idea of a city of like, this is, a city on a hill, right? Jerusalem is a city set on a hill.
Yeah.
Jesus talks about it so often, and we are meant to picture, in Revelation, right? In the last book of the Bible, we see the heavenly Jerusalem coming down to earth. It's
That's
a city
right.
That has walls that no longer need gates, but it's instead walls that are kind of jewels and are beautiful. They're a piece of art rather than a piece of protection because they no longer need protection because everything's without sin anymore. And so just the picture of a city is also captivated me of saying, this is a church community where we want to not just be about ourselves, but how can we also move towards helping this place that we're called to, right? Columbus, Ohio. How can we make Columbus be a place that's thriving and flourishing where people can say, there is a God and that he cares about us and he cares about even the least of us here in Columbus and want to, follow him. And so I think that's kind of the motif, the picture that I'm trying to capture with the name City of Refuge. And so it's a little bit of my Bible nerdness.
I love it. Yeah.
Awesome. Mixed together with a bigger theme of, the city and new creation of what God's doing redemptively, even here and now.
That's very powerful. And I was thinking about one of my seminary professors who said that there's a whole lot of emphasis on justice, but not so much on refuge and redemption. And he felt that there was going to be a generation that would rise up and understand the need for that refuge, the need for that redemption, not just here's what you did and here's what's wrong with you, but here's also the redemption and the refuge. And I think it's beautiful that you are thinking that way, especially as you start this new church. Okay, so some would say there's a big connection between coffee and mental health. There probably is. But I'd love to hear about your coffee business and the way that you do business. When you're looking at things like refuge and justice and righteousness and kindness and redemption and all these other things that you're looking at as a Christian, how does that impact the way that you do business?
Yeah. So I think I mentioned earlier that coffee started out as a hobby. And, I remember actually distinctly back in my undergrad is when I had my first coffee that I enjoyed. And that was an Ethiopian coffee. And that's actually kind of our flagship coffee now for Mosaic. So there's a big old connection. And I actually tried that coffee in a church cafe. So that was really, so there's a connection there too. So, but I think one of the things that sets, the way we do our coffee and our business apart from maybe other roasters is we're trying to be very locally focused in who we will, just thinking about the artwork and the branding, the logos and everything that we have.
Sure.
We specifically are committed to working with local artists of color, artists and creatives of color who are here in Columbus, because we want to support local. It'd be a lot cheaper to hire anyone from, you know, Fiverr or any of these kinds of things that are available out there.
Right,
exactly. Mm-hmm. But we really want to make sure that we are highlighting local stories, local people here, because I think it connects all of us to a community. So when people buy our coffee here, or when a church gets coffee catered from us, they see a connection between the artwork, these artists, the stories, their communities, oftentimes stories of marginalization, sometimes even of overcoming difficulties, and helps us to see that we need to be in solidarity together. And so coffee is kind of a vessel that I've created to be able to have people start thinking about those conversations, even as simple as who designs the artwork for the products that I buy, right? And who's supplying these things? Those kinds of questions are really important, because it's not just, you know, nameless people out there, but there are people behind the work that's done, and questions of, is it equitably done? Are people represented who unfairly more so than others, right? And so those are just some of the things that I've been trying to incorporate in the work of, just working with artists and creatives of color, specifically in Columbus. I'm not an artist myself, so that scene is definitely foreign to me in a lot of ways. So it's been really eye-opening for me to get to know this artist and that artist and who they know, their community as well. And so that's really eye-opening for me. It's been a real pleasure to work with. Right now, we've worked with three different artists who've designed three different labels for our coffee. And so, it's been a real pleasure to do that.
Mm. Well, I have a master's of fine arts degree, so I'm going to thank you on behalf of artists. I really am. I'm going to thank you because I see more and more in music, in arts, in all of it, creative writing, all of it. We're moving more and more toward AI and replacing people or underpaying people or not paying people at all. And so I personally am grateful on behalf of all artists that you care about that and you're implementing that artistic justice in your company. Yeah. So what does success look like to you in a world where we have billionaires?
You know, that's something I think about on a regular basis. You know, success for me is in what ways have I contributed to the thriving and flourishing of the people around me, the place that I live. And I try to have that be a communal sort of thought process for me, because it reminds me that it's not all about how much profit I can make or how much of a reputation I can gain. But it's a question of how are we all doing together?
Right.
And so, you know, if one of us is doing really well and the rest of us are floundering, that's not a good thing. Or even if, you know, 80% of us are doing well and 20% of us are not doing well, I don't think that's successful. I think that's actually a huge room to grow for that. So I think that's something that I've tried to implement in the coffee business and even in the church as well, of thinking, you know, what are ways that we can push back against the idea that people are only worth or valuable if they contribute and do something for someone else, or the amount of money they can make, or make me actually, but thinking, how can we help each other mutually contribute to the flourishing of other people? I think that's what success looks like. And hopefully, I think that's what Jesus is talking about as well. And so I'm hopefully trying to just parrot what he told us to do.
Doing well by doing good, right? The idea that, you know, that's so important, and that idea seems to be so lost recently. I'm so encouraged that you still care about others even as you do business. So how could folks have some of your coffee or support what you're doing or buy your coffee, have you come and cater? What would they need to do?
Yeah. So our main store is online. So mosaiccolumbus.com is where you can find all of our roasts. You can find also the brewed coffee delivery service on there as well. And so if you're local to Columbus, we will, and you are a church, a house of worship, or a small business here, we also have special rates for them just because we want to bless the people who are the communities, the businesses that are local here. And if you're out of state, you can also purchase coffee. We will send it to you. And yeah, I think one of the big things that I would say to participate in this is hire the artists that we have hired to make our labels. I think that is that would be a huge encouragement for me, because that's the purpose of it all. We want to see people hire the three artists that we've worked with for the next whatever it might be. I think one of our artists actually has done murals and other sort of projects in Columbus too, so you can see his work. He's done some stuff for the Columbus Crew soccer team, and so there's just a lot of ways where I'd love to see people not only purchase the coffee, but to say, wow, this is great artwork, and we want to support these artists. We list all of these artists on our website as well, and so make it really easy for someone to find these artists and work with them.
That's beautiful. I love that, because that's true community in action. That's mutual care and concern. When you think about the future of, wow, you're doing so many great things, but when you think about the future of Mosaic, what do you hope it will be?
So I'm hoping that Mosaic will be create some sort of an impact here locally in Columbus, or I'm thinking especially of some, you know, underprivileged youth who may need some sort of mentorship of what it looks like to start a business of their own, right? Those are the kind of the thoughts that I have. What would it look like to be a place that could be even a place of employment if we end up becoming a cafe or something that is helpful for people in that community who may be struggling, who may just need a little extra help? Those are the kind of things that I've been thinking of. And, you know, day by day, things might change, but those are the things I'm prayerfully hoping for, opportunities to be able to have something in brick and mortar that would be a blessing to others, that if we created something and it was gone, people would kind of miss us and feel the loss as well, right? And so, yeah, again, it's not fully formed in my mind, but hopefully something like that is what I'm hoping to do.
Yes. Well, I think you're going to do many great things, and I think you'll succeed in them all. And we're all here, well done, right? Good and faithful servant at the end of it all. And that's the most important thing. What do you want us to know about you and what you do that we don't already know?
Yeah, that's great. Let's see. Well, one of the things that I would share is I've been on a journey over the past several years of understanding my own identity. As a Korean American, and, you know, being, and it's been kind of late, actually. I became a Christian in college and never really kind of thought about how those things come together, like my identity and also who I am as a follower of Jesus. And so as I'm growing myself, incorporating that into, just the way I raise my kids, and the ways that, you know, I interact with the community around me and people who come from various backgrounds, that's how the church is made, how the church is running and how Mosaic is done. I think just trying to implement all those things in my life. And, honestly, you know, I think if there's any sort of hope for people, this all happened pretty late for me. You know, I'm in my mid-30s now. And so sometimes people who might be younger might think, oh, I'm not doing something. I'm not getting something done. And I'm in my late teens. I'm in my 20s or something like that. Or I haven't, you know, I'm only just learning about this or that. You know, it's good. It's fine to be patient, you know, and to see, like, you're being formed in a certain way and in God's time. And so that'd be the one thing I'd share of just about myself that maybe of an encouragement to someone else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In indigenous culture, people talk about Indian time, and sometimes it's an insult to say we're always late or something. But really what it means is we're right where we need to be, the right place at the right time. We're right where we need to be. Whatever season it is, whatever time it is, our times are in God's hands, and we're where we're supposed to be. And I really thank you for saying that, because a lot of folks especially feel set back by the pandemic. They feel like they lost time or lost years or didn't get opportunities, or, you know, the pandemic has cost us or whatever. Well, isn't it wonderful that God can redeem the time?
Yeah.
And I thank him for that every day. One more time. We need to know how we can get involved with your church, maybe be part of the services, how folks can partner with you and support what you do. And Mosaic, the coffee drinkers of the world, now know that there's this wonderful coffee for them. Tell us how, please.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find, mosaiccolumbus.com is one way to find me. You can look my name up, Timothy Isaiah Cho, on various social media, and I'm usually pretty responsive to anyone who might reach out to me through direct messages or anything like that. And hopefully, maybe if you're interested in the church too, you know, that's another, I'm always open to different kinds of things with how our church can serve and how our church can do things. So I'm always open to any ideas of connections and things like that, especially here locally in Columbus.
This conversation is magnificent, and I have enjoyed every minute of it. I know you have a lot to do and a lot of things that are important and all of that, but I'm really grateful that you could take some time and spend it with us and our friends today. Thank you for that.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure.
Well, friends, we want to thank you for listening. We thank our guest. My goodness, what a terrific conversation we've had. Truly blessed. And we thank your beautiful family, Pastor Cho, as well. We appreciate them so much. And we are just grateful, really grateful, to the Adam H. Board of Franklin County for sponsoring this opportunity to share some perspectives on mental health. And, you know, this show is a labor of love. And don't let the awards fool you. We have to have a miracle just about every month. And we are so grateful every time we do. So thank you to all of you who listen, who share on social media, who pray for us, who donate to us. You know, we got a donation. I have to wipe the tears out of my eyes, but we got a donation the other day from a child in our homeschool co-op. And they wanted to give us $5 so we could keep doing this. And we're just grateful every time someone is kind to us like that, because you don't have to do it, but you do. And I want you to know that I always appreciate you, and I thank God for all of you. Thank you to these networks and platforms who share. Thank you to the awards who think that we deserve some. Thank you to all of you who are our friends and our listeners. We're so grateful. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait until we're all together again next time.
Come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees. They pray all, they pray all. And never look back once the war forgave you.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.